Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Luke, tonight, if you got your Bibles, open to chapter 13. And I love Gospel of Luke, and I've titled this message tonight, Serving Impossible Human Need. Impossible Human Need, and we're going to look at this story. It's a beautiful story. Beautiful story of a woman who's healed by Jesus but had been suffering a long, long time. She'd been in pain a long time, and it's a really wonderful story. And it reminds me of Jesus' words, who said this in chapter 4, and I'm reading from the Message. He said, "He sent me to announce pardon to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free." I just love that take. To set the burden and the battered free. I love the ministry of Jesus when I think of those words and think about the amazing power that he has to release people from all kinds of things. You know, many of us, I know, are ministering and serving people who are in great need. And I just want to champion that tonight, want to encourage you in that. And I also know that there are ministry to needs that probably seem somewhat impossible to solve, or we've been waiting a long time to see those things have a breakthrough. And it reminded me of something Mel and I did many, many years ago. And we have the tremendous privilege at a hockey club that I'm part of, where people just share with us deep needs and deep challenges. They're not believers, they just come and share. They know what we do, and it's very special. And one such lady we really connected with was a lady by the name of Helen, and she was sharing with us just incredible back pain that she'd been suffering for decades, and nothing that would seem to work in terms of relieving that pain. And she could hardly get out of bed some mornings, and we would offer prayer, and she would graciously accept, even though she wasn't a believer. And she said that would be great. And one day she accepted Mel and my offer to just go to her house. We actually anointed her with oil and we began to pray over her just on the eve of her back operation. And as we prayed for her, she really was grateful for those prayers, and she really sensed, as we did, the real presence of the Lord. It was very special in that moment. And we were delighted to hear that the operation went well and she actually was released from pain forever in her back. And she gave tribute as a non-believer that that must have been the prayers that worked. I'm sure the medical profession did a great job as well. But it was really good to hear that, praise the Lord. But then she shared that as a result of the operation, she'd lost sight, I think it was in her left eye. And we said, well, we'll pray for that as well. But to date, the Lord hasn't healed that. And we just continue to trust the Lord for that. But it was kind of pretty difficult. One hand, he healed Helen's back. And on the other, she had this complication that she still has. And she's had it for many years. And so it took some time for Helen to reconcile that. And maybe as I share that story, some of you know of people that you've been praying for in the same predicament. Maybe you've been praying for them for 5 years, 10 years, maybe even some 20 years and beyond, and are yet to see God actually break through and actually make a difference in the healing sign. I don't profess to know why God seems to heal some and why he doesn't heal some others. It's a mystery to me. It continues to be. And all I do know is that many of us who have prayed for people long and hard have prayed for people where we see God move miraculously, and then some seemingly take longer to break through and maybe never ever do for whatever reason. And there's cases of long-term sufferers that may cause us, you know, how do we be effective in those times of genuine need? And waiting for God to break through, and the wait that seems so long. And so as I read this story tonight, and as I kind of just share a few things out of it, I hope that it kind of refreshes us in some ways, gives us a fresh vision of, hey, what might be possible as we think about the ministry of Jesus and be encouraged by that. From verse 10, this is how the story starts. I think you've got it on the screen there. And it says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, which was his custom, we know. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. I can't imagine what that would have been like, to be able to just have such a condition where every day your normal routines are affected, and waking up out of bed and she couldn't go about those normal things. And Luke records that the root source of this illness was a spirit, an evil spirit we take as, and most likely there was some medical issue to do with that. We recognise that. But throughout the gospel, Luke makes a distinction between those who need physical healing and those who need to be released by evil spirits. And he makes that distinction a few times. So I want us to capture the pathos of this moment, which is a very dramatic, it's a very terrible disease this woman has. It's a very debilitating life issue. There's also some kind of spiritual bondage. But when Jesus saw her, the next verse is, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman," which I think we could translate, "Dear lady, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God. How good's that? How good is Jesus? He's able to do that. Wonderful Saviour. I'd love to be in that synagogue in that moment and just see that. Just would have loved to have seen that. I want you to notice two things out of this. It's interesting because Luke records an evil spirit was the source of her bondage or source of her issue. But Jesus actually pronounces physical healing upon this lady. Now, I just found that quite interesting in the fact that he goes for the physical issue. Maybe he took care of this spiritual issue in the back blocks, so to speak. And the second thing is we know Jesus often healed privately most of the time. But there are occasions where he heals in the public setting, like this one here. You know what it says to me? It says that maybe there'll be times Jesus wants to exercise his power through us in a private setting, but maybe also might be in a public setting. And that's where faith really has to hit. We have to really trust God for that when he does that. But he instantly sets this woman free. The woman praises God and so do the people. Verse 17, the people were delighted with all the wonderful things Jesus was doing. And here's my first point I just want to make tonight. It's a very simple point, but I think we've got to capture it and be reminded that the power of Christ's healing ushers in ecstatic joy and praise. That should be our number one response as we think of that. And it was indeed a great celebration and miracle. You believe miracles still happen today? Oh, I'm so glad. They do. They do. You want to know something else? Interestingly, Australians believe in the power of miracles, even if they don't believe. According to McCrindle Research, they wrote this: a rising trend in Australia is the affinity for no religion, where 3 in 10, 30%, I think it's higher than that now, consider themselves as non-religious, with the number rising. And despite not considering themselves as religious, Australians are increasingly describing themselves as spiritual. More than one, 56%, more than one in two, believing in God or a life force. So with the rise in non-religion and spirituality, one might be concerned that Australia is becoming increasingly progressive in the wrong way, moving away from Christian values. However, that's not quite the case because Australians are still holding to the core beliefs. Not only do more than one in two, 58% of Australians believe in a higher power or God, but 60% of Australians believe in miracles. That's good news. I think that's good news for our evangelistic efforts as we think of that and reaching out to people who need a miracle. I just want to ask this question. I want you to listen and hear this question in your heart. Do you know someone who needs a touch from Jesus, who needs a miracle? They actually needed it yesterday. If you know someone, maybe God's going to put that person on your heart and step out. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Jesus is still setting captives free. Did you hear me say that? I'm not sure if you heard me say that, because normally you'd go, amen. All right? So Jesus is still setting captives free.
Amen.
Oh, he is. You know, he's so good at it. I mean, we saw that in the woman who was dramatically healed. But we're going to change tack a little bit, because my second point, I just want to just say this. You know, releasing the oppressed may draw criticism. Oh, no. Listen to what happens in verse 14. The synagogue leader was angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. And, oh, boy. You know, he often was criticized for breaking the Sabbath. What a fizzer. Sorry. What a killjoy. We've just witnessed one of the most miraculous healings of a lady, 18 years, in this issue, set free on that day. And he said to the people, there are 6 days when one has to work, so come to be healed on one of those days, not on this day, the Sabbath day. And he was taking aim at Jesus, but the people as well. He missed the entire point, didn't he? He's just set this woman free from 18 years of agony, 18 years of pain, 18 years of suffering. I reckon that synagogue leader probably saw this lady come in and out of that synagogue at least once a week. Probably saw this lady on the street at the market. What a shame. And I think for those who are serving the Lord and are involved in ministry, you know, sometimes there are going to be people in life who criticize the good things Jesus does in and through you. And I think it's good to be prepared for that. I'm not sure if I should share this next thing, but I'm going to share this story. Because back in 2016-17, God asked our leadership to plant 2 churches. And those 3 congregations, actually including this one, went on to reach 100 new disciples for Christ. It was remarkable. It was just an amazing thing God did. But did you know, in the midst of that, we received our first negative letter saying how bad that was, how unbiblical that was, and we shouldn't do that. Honestly, the mind boggles that God can do one thing and it draws criticism from another. It doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense here because Jesus miraculously, dramatically heals this lady and the synagogue leader says, don't come and be healed on this day, come the next day. It doesn't make sense. But even in the midst of criticism, hey, he's still setting the captives free. Amen? Oh, you're getting better at it. Well, we've got a bit to go, so you'll get there. We've got to believe this, friends. He's doing it today. He's still setting captives free and he does way more than that. And one of the things I love about this, about Jesus, and particularly this moment, I love the fact that Luke records this moment of the synagogue leader getting very upset, is that Jesus doesn't stay silent. He actually is, and here's my third aspect, Jesus is the defender and redeemer of the weak. You know, I was reading Proverbs this week, and it says this in verse 23, verse 11, for their defender is strong, he will take up their case against you. And you'll notice there's a New Living Translation, just translates it a little bit differently. For their Redeemer is strong, he will bring their charges against you. Jesus is not going to stand by and let someone destroy a miraculous holy moment. He's going to stand and he launches into a strong discourse. He says this, verse 15, the Lord replied, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox and your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right she be released even on the Sabbath? And this shamed his enemies. And there's something I think to read between the lines here. There's 2 things that I want to highlight. The first thing is, you notice he says to them, you untie your beloved animals to take them for a drink, which they deserve to do on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is saying between the lines, how much more should we untie this woman who has been bound for 18 years? And she's much more worthy than an animal, farm animal in this case. And Jesus goes one step further and he uses a title for this lady which was generally only reserved for the males of the chosen people. You know the story of Zacchaeus, Luke 19, verse 9? He comes to faith and he says, this man is a son of Abraham. And then he says to the woman, what does he call her? A daughter of Abraham. There's something going on here between the lines. He's not just setting this woman free from the physical and spiritual, but he's elevating her to equal status in that culture amongst men, because this is the new paradigm of Jesus. Time to get on board with that. And so easy to overlook, but it points to the full inclusion of women in the new covenant community. Hallelujah. You go, girls. You go. It's so exciting. And she's a daughter of Abraham. So in more than one way or another, Jesus is still setting the captives free. I don't mind if they all come at different times. That's fine. But God is a God who sets captives free. We see people and we know of people being set spiritually free, physically free, and even socially free in different circumstances. He's setting the captives free. And I wonder if I could humbly ask you this week to do two things. Here's the first one. If you are a believer, rejoice that Christ has set you free. That he set you free. And each of us at one point in time were held captive by the enemy and we could not redeem ourselves. We could not satisfy the standards of God, but Christ did it for us. We just celebrated that in communion. He set us free. Hallelujah. And if you're not a believer, if you're still searching, I want to say Jesus wants to set you free spiritually and physically as well. I want to encourage you to make him Lord. That's the first thing. The second thing is, do you know of someone in your life that maybe has been suffering for a long time? And maybe tonight the story does one or two things. Maybe it gives you some hope for the person you're thinking of. Maybe people you're thinking of. Maybe it's a call to persevere in prayer. Maybe it's a call to err on the side of mustard seed faith and to step out towards this person and to encourage them. I want to encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit in this matter. Listen to the timing of when you might see this person. Listen to how Jesus wants you to pray for this person. And whatever it is, let's err on the side of faith rather than what if he doesn't heal? What if he doesn't come through? Let's not err on that side. Let's err on the side of faith. Let's really trust God this week and to see him break through. Maybe he wants to use you to set people free. Jesus is still setting the captives free. Amen. He is. He is. You know, I was sharing about this friend of ours, Helen, from the hockey club, and how God had dramatically healed her back and is yet to restore her sight, I think, in her left eye. It is. And I was able to say this to her, and I am quite good friends with her, built a good relationship. I was able to say some pretty deep things to her. And I said, well, Helen, maybe the Lord's trying to get your attention. Maybe he wants you, through this ailment, to actually see Jesus for who he really is. And maybe it's some way, somewhat connected into gaining spiritual sight in your relationship with God. Her answer surprised me. She said, that actually might be true. I went, oh, that's cool. And recently, we saw each other again, and she said, oh, I saw you do a funeral, and I'm hoping to book you in for mine when the time comes. I get that quite a bit, actually. It's quite nice. And I said, I would be honoured on one condition, only one condition. I don't want to talk about your death. I want to talk about your life. I want to talk about what it means to follow Jesus. I want to talk about what it means life everlasting, because I want to give that testimony at your funeral. if you let me. Her answer surprised me again. She says, that sounds like a good plan, is what she said. And so we're hooking up to make a coffee time and then be able to share, hopefully, the good news and, in her words, plan the funeral. And what I've noticed that in the course of journeying with people where we're serving them in impossible need, and sometimes we're just not seeing God break through, I think God's doing something in those moments with the people and with our relationship with the people. And it starts to give us a platform where we can actually build relationships with them and ultimately and hopefully share the good news of Jesus. So even if we don't see God breaking through in someone's life like we've just seen and witnessed in this story, God is using those moments where we are praying for people, where we are asking Him to heal or break through in some way. So may we see this week of Jesus' power, because He's still setting the captives free. Let's pray. Father, You're a good God. You're a good, good Father. You're a blessed Saviour. You're an amazing healer. And we just worship You tonight. We just love You and we bless You. And we thank You, Lord, that many of us have experienced our prayers being answered for people, and we just celebrate that. But Lord, we admit we have not also seen answers to prayer for people we prayed for, and it seems to be prolonged. So Lord, I just want to pray a freshening and a strengthening around this matter and a re-envisioning of the throne of grace. I just thank You tonight, each of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can ask on behalf of those who need grace, mercy, and time of need. And I just want to pray this week, Lord, that we, each of us individually and together, would come boldly before the throne of grace, and we will ask and err on the side of faith for You to move. Holy Spirit, would You stir our faith, encourage our faith, and break through for Your kingdom's sake, for Your glory's sake. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.